You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
There we go.
We're not dead, bitches.
Fuckers. All right, we're
don't
good.
Don't call it a comeback.
Because it's not.
We're not co-feedling.
Don't call it a comeback. Actually, please don't. Please. This is welcome back to Geeks at Large. It's been 82 years.
82 years.
Steven just had a birthday. He's 35 now. Great.
We should just, every time we mention his birthday, he should get older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then it's a Steven universe where he just, over the course of his birthday, just gets older and older.
And then, like, and if we wish hard enough at the end of the podcast, he'll, like, you know, by next morning, he'll be exactly the last age that we left it off at. You better hope we don't leave you at 69 years old.
And then he'll just be like the villain of Last Crusade and be like, he chose poorly.
Well, I mean, it'll be like between that and him just going, nice.
Nice. Or we're just yelling like 69 at him. Like,
yeah.
That's like elderly Steven's favorite joke for some reason.
American Horror Story. I shout 69 in our apartment so long it goes down in value.
No, it's currently at 62.
to any of our listeners who don't know, for all of my, I'm actually 5'10", but on medical records, I will lower myself an inch so that I can write that I'm 69 inches, because I am a 12-year-old.
That's a unique kind of humble brag.
It is.
Like, I'm nice enough that I lower my height just to have a sick meme.
It's purely just for my own amusement, but I know that's gonna bite me in the ass later when I get pulled over for something and they're like, you're 5'10", but this says you're 5'9". Book them, and then they start beating me.
Do you like sign like your name is like Neil Dankler? And then draw like weed. And if it says sex, you say yes.
I say yes, please. Thank
yes,
you.
Please.
Oh, you're just in like the little prisoner lineup, and like, you know, just holding the thing, getting your mugshot taken. They go, wait a minute, that guy's 69 inches. He's innocent.
Look at that, your grand plan right now.
I like that that's like the optimistic version of that. I think that my version, they just see that it's 69 inches. Hey, Bob. Nice.
Anyway, book them. And then I beat you with that.
Yeah. I've noticed all of my fantasies today involve me getting beaten brutally by police.
You're in court and they show up. The thing is like, the judge is just like, nice. Anyway, you've been found guilty of murder, murdering 7 kids in a school bus, 7 life sentences.
You haven't gone to a single class and the exam is today, and then police start beating you up.
I'll prefer
he's
that
white,
one.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. All right, yeah, that's a good point. Anyway.
Well, speaking of police brutality, that totally happens, because it does.
Yeah, it does.
Geeks at Large.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey, so I'm your host, Taylor. Host is kind of like,
if this were a movie, this is when like the title card. The
I was literally about to say this is
the Departed.
I was about to say this is like the Departed. We're like 20 minutes in, we finally announce.
Or in the Venom movie.
When
like a bunch of like shit happens, and then the Venom title card comes up, and then rap music just starts playing in San Francisco.
Wait, Steven, did you see Venom?
I did see.
Oh my fuck!
Yeah, he's got some thoughts.
I am gonna talk.
I guess we'll fuck. Now we have something to talk about on this shit.
I like how we had dedicated ourselves to not having any form and just being kind of a disappointment. But now Taylor's like, oh,
I even told Steven like, hey, it's gonna be about anything, and he didn't tell me. Fucking
hold that on you.
Fuck you. Fuck you, Steven.
Okay, I have a question. The rap song, was it Eminem or was it Run the Jewels?
No, it was neither of those. The Eminem one.
Yeah, because that would be good.
No, the Eminem, the edited version of the Eminem one is the end credits one.
Because it's a
PG-13
movie. Because it's a PG-13 movie. I found out Run the Jewels did a song for Venom, and I heard it. I was like, this is fucking great.
I guess it might have been. I don't know enough about Run the Jewels. I don't think it sounded
Steven,
like
you're
Run
from Atlanta. You have to love Run the Jewels.
I should run. Yeah.
You're an Irish Atlantan. You are predisposed to love three things: Guinness, hiding your feelings, and Run the Jewels.
I don't like Guinness.
You're Irish.
We're Irish, so we're gonna bottle up our feelings until we're on our deathbed, and then still not say that we love them.
yeah, you fucking Catholics.
Actually, funny enough, Stephen and I are both Irish, but yeah, we have no problem like talking to each other I don't know, man, today was bad.
Dude, I am
pretty great.
Yeah, I have just embraced my beta male.
Dude, if anyone even
one like me, you fucking cucks, get out of here. I'm gonna go home and sleep with my wife.
More like you're gonna sleep with my wife.
Yeah,
Taylor has sex.
Matt is giving me ideas. He has had. I'm Taylor Sex Haver.
I mean, I guess I'm Neil Libcuck. So I mean,
Neil Voyeurist.
Sorry, I'm Jewish. It's Libchuck. All right.
No.
That was. Oh boy, that was bad. All right, I've canceled myself.
Look, I am.
Yeah.
Anyway, I
did have a moment where I was talking to one of my coworkers who is Jewish, and he had just shaved, and I'm like, I was talking to him about the Jewish genes. Are you gonna get that really great beard? And he's like, fucking Christ, Neil. And I was like, man, I'm Irish. I can't get the good beard. So then I turned casual anti-Semitism into a nice bonding moment.
Wow. Mm. Not all weird heroes wear capes, Neil. And neither do you, because you're not.
I barely wear clothes. All right.
So who's that co-host that is anti-Semitic?
I was going to get to that. The anti-Semitic fucker over here is named Neil.
I love the Jews. All right. I'm good.
I love those. My lawyer's the Jew.
I'm not making this any better. Oh, no. Oh, yes.
Well, you should run for governor in Alabama.
Fucking, I completely forgot about Roy Moore. Oh my god.
And this poor schmuck who saw Venom is Steven.
Yep. I've seen it.
Seen it.
I've seen
it. Seen him. Seen him. Seen him.
No,
I've seen it. I've seen it.
I've seen it.
I saw it. So, I guess we'll just fucking talk about Venom for a bit.
I'm just yelling
at Steven for being stupid.
I'm the only one that saw it. So
I can't tell if I should be mad that I didn't see it with you. Or pitying you for seeing Venom.
Well, I've been trying to get out more and do different things. And I got the movie pass, so it's like, I gotta see more movies with this stupid thing.
Oh, you mean the current movie pass where you can see, like, you know, the...
You can
the, like,
go to...
Donald, a, you can see the Donald Trump documentary, or you can see Venom.
And it has to be at a studio movie grill or movie tavern.
Yeah.
Those are, like, the only theaters that seem to show up whenever I like the damn movie.
Because they're just like, well, we're going to make all of our money back on overpriced food.
Exactly, yeah.
Isn't the parent company of MoviePass being investigated by the NYPD right now?
Sure.
I think it is.
I mean, the answer was yes, like, halfway through that sentence.
MoviePass, yes.
Didn't MoviePass, like, beat up some people in a classroom for, like, not studying for the exam? Like,
probably. MoviePass just not doing anything now. They're just investing in, like, weird startups. Like,
yeah.
Like, this weird app that just weighs, like, just counts, like, how many leaves are on an artichoke. That's it.
I hear MoviePass's best friend is Jewish, though.
So. No, that's good. Yeah. Wow, yeah. I am never going to live this down.
This is the new homecoming. This is the new Spider-Man homecoming. It's Neil is a fucking anti-Semite.
I love the Jews. I'm just saying.
There's the funny people debacle.
Oh, no.
And then down here is you being anti-Semite.
Oh, no.
That's going to be the episode. I'm going to scrap the title. It's just going to be Neil's an anti-Semite.
Oh, no. That's going to go on my record.
No.
I can't put that on a resume.
Yeah.
I mean, I will, but...
No.
I need it, but...
The episode title is going to be Sorry About Venom. Because that is a actual line from the movie.
Oh my fuck.
Michelle Williams just looks Tom Hardy in the eyes and says, Sorry About Venom.
So I feel like that's going to be the new thing between Steven and I. Yep. I'll just, while we're trying to eat or something, hey Steven, sorry about Venom.
So what's the, like, of the trifecta of bad lines that I know from this movie,
ooh.
Like, you work for an evil person. That's not in the movie. What the fuck?
That's just the trailer.
Fuck this.
That was like a place filler line or something from the trailer. At least I don't remember.
No, I never want to see Venom. Because the best line is not there.
The line that explains to me the plot of the movie.
Wow.
In a movie that already, like, the biggest problem of it is that it tells and doesn't show.
And, like, what it actually tells is awful.
Yeah, it's really weird. Okay, well...
Not much to tell.
One of my, yeah, so, like, my big gripe with the movie is that it tells and it doesn't show. Like, it kind of explains everything. Like, Riot is the villain in the movie, and I don't know how much you guys know about Riot.
No, because like, I didn't, like, I don't know, fucking vape today, so...
Yeah, so Riot is the villain in this movie. He's just some symbiote that's, I guess, gray? I don't know.
There's like 7,000 symbiotes.
Yeah, there's a butt ton of symbiotes, and,
Because there's also anti-venom. Like, there was
That's Venom, but, like, a different color palette, basically. That was anti-venom.
At this point, I'm fully convinced that there's so many symbiotes out there that you could practically become, like, a Steven the Hedgehog thing, where you just type in a name, there's a symbiote.
Yeah. Taylor the symbiote. Yeah. Oh!
Also, speaking of symbiotes, remember that whole deal? Like, in the trailer, she pronounced it symbiotes. It's pronounced symbiotes throughout the whole movie. Symbiotes. So, like, I don't know if they, like, ADR'd it. I don't know if they, like, just ADR corrected it or something or what, but that was, yeah.
I mean, with all that budget, yeah, they could afford to do that.
I'm just gonna, fair warning, this is spoilers for Venom.
Spoilers for Venom.
Yeah, I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Spoilers.
Dotson.
Spoilers.
See, nobody gives a shit.
Riot apparently is this big deal, like, team leader guy from the symbiote homeworld.
He definitely wears a
pop collar. Already sounds fucking awful.
Yeah, and Venom,
he definitely wears, like, a pop collar on his home planet.
He's Chet Kensington. He's Chad Riot,
right? Yeah.
But like he's got like a tribal tattoo around his arm.
If you checked his inbox for text messages, it would be nothing but sent messages.
He wore pink polo shirts.
He's got like cross collars. Tips.
It would be nothing but sent messages of WYD.
So yeah, Riot was this big. Apparently, he was some team leader on the home world. And like one of the things I actually kind of liked in the movie is that I guess one of the reason Venom kind of likes Eddie Brock is that Eddie Brock is a character who's like lost everything in the movie. Like he steals information from his girlfriend in order to like, you know, piss off Riz Ahmed.
That's a relationship I can get behind.
It's a terrible, like, he does a terrible thing and he deserves to lose everything. So he's kind of a loser.
Wow. I can't wait for this protagonist to get what he deserves, which is apparently good stuff. I don't know.
it's weird. So, but then like Venom kind of's like, oh, I kind of like you, Eddie. Like I was looking for you, I found you, and it's like, why me? It's like, well, on my homeworld, I was also kind of a loser, so. So, like, you would, like, I figured...
All
like,
the other symbiotes wouldn't let me play in their symbiote game.
I think the idea is that it's two losers finding each other and saying, like, oh, well, maybe if we work together, we could actually, like, be of value and do some big things. Which is, like, I kind of like that. But at the same time, I also kind of would have liked to see it instead of have it explained to me. Like, I would have liked to see Venom's awkward teen years on the symbiote homeworld. And, like, freaking, like, Riot, like, pop collar Chet Kensington. Like going, hey, what's up, Venom? Loser! What?
Could you imagine what acne on a symbiote looks like?
Where it's just fucking Jonah Hill from the first 21 Jump Street.
Yes.
Where some shady starts playing. Where he's got like that fucking like airbrushed like gangsta Looney Tunes t-shirt.
It's just nothing but like the drawing the S's all over.
S for symbiote.
Oh man.
Mad.
It's just terrible.
The end.
The post credit scene is Woody Harrelson in a little orphan Annie wig.
Oh my god.
Have you seen that wig?
No.
It has zero business being on a professional movie.
What's funny because Woody Harrelson's fucking bald as shit, so it's kind of weird to think of him with hair like at all.
Yeah.
So to hear that he looks like fucking Annie,
like it's the dumbest wig you've ever seen.
It's maybe one of the dumbest like sequel baity things I've also heard about.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I mean, again, spoiler alert. But it's they don't say like Cletus Cassidy, but they're clearly hinting that he's Carnage because he says like when I get out and I will, there's gonna be Carnage, and it's like no, like and it just made me realize that like you know like I've liked Venom and Carnage like as characters, they've always just been kind of fun edgy '90s characters that I kind of grew up with because like I'm a '90s kid, And it just made me realize, like, yeah, how often do you say the word carnage aloud, you know?
Carnage is not a word that normal people use. Carnage is a word that is used by journalists.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Like, you don't hear, like, you know, like, 12-year-olds playing, like, Black Ops 4 going, like, oh, dude, my KD, like, ratio, like, dude, there's so much carnage, yo. Like, yeah, no one says carnage. It's such a weird thing to say aloud the more I think about it. And, yeah, like, he's wearing this little Orphan Annie wig. He does, like, this weird thing, like, I don't know much about these characters, but, like, Cletus Kasady has always just been kind of, like, the Joker, kind of, to me. Like, he's just been like, I want to kill people! You know? Yeah. Like, he's never been, like, a Hannibal Lecter type.
No.
Right? Yeah, but, like, I think that's kind of what they're going for with Carnage, with Cletus Kasady. He's kind of more, like, methodic. Like, Eddie, like, the post-credit scene is, like, Eddie Brock, like, oh, like, I'm kind of getting back into journalism. I have an interview that's going to, like, really revitalize my career.
I don't know how I feel about that scene where Kasady said, I can smell your cunt.
No, God.
It's like, I don't know, man.
Oh, Jesus.
But, like, yeah, Eddie gets there, and it's just, like, you know, I'm gonna forego, like, the stereotypes of the serial killer in here. You wanna just step closer? He's, like, writing something in blood on the wall. It's like, kind of going for, like, a weird, like, he's kind of the, like, weird, crazy, but they're also kind of giving him, like, that weird Hannibal Lecter kind of, I'm smart, methodical type thing to him, which Carnage was never really about. You know, like, I don't know. It's weird.
So it sounds like they're kind of trying to pull a little bit of a Lex Luthor there.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, like, where they're trying to reinvent a character that nobody's familiar with.
Right. Try to give more depth to a character that, I'm just going to say it, never had much.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, Carnage was, or Cletus Kasady was just a dude with, like, a really fucked up childhood, and surprise, surprise me. You know what? Like, he kind of had Woody Harrelson's childhood, from what I've heard. Like, have you heard Woody Harrelson? Like, apparently Woody Harrelson's the actual, like, son of a serial killer.
Hitman, I think. Bounty Hunter.
A Bounty Hunter, okay.
Yeah, he's a Bounty Hunter.
So, yeah, like a trained killer. So, yeah, apparently Woody Harrelson had, like, a really crazy backstory. So, like, okay, makes sense he'd play Carnage, but this is kind of a weird take on it. And but again, Carnage never really had much depth.
Well, yeah, he's a 90s character. Like,
he's a 90s character.
Like, the thing about Venom is that he's not a 90s character, he's an 80s character.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like...
Late
like,
80s, yeah.
Well, like, mid, like, early mid, like, the whole decade. Like,
really?
I thought
it was, like, late 80s, early 90s, no?
Nope, he had been around for a little bit, you know?
I just know he was, like, one of those Todd McFarlane type characters.
Yeah, he was a Todd McFarlane character. I don't know if he created Venom...
Or if he was the one that, like, popularized
him. Like, he kind of popularized him a bit. Obviously, like, Tom McFarlane was a huge Spider-Man artist at the time.
Yeah.
But, like, that's how they're kind of counterparts. Anyway, the way I see him is, like, Venom is kind of, like, 80s and kind of, like, he's a little bit of, like, in the 80s where comics got darker.
Yeah.
Like, he's a little bit indicative of that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, you know? Frank Miller.
Well, like, Frank Miller and Alan Moore. And, yeah. Yeah. Like, so he was kind of indicative of that. So I would say, like, probably, like, mid to late 80s.
Okay.
But then, like, Carnage is just full, like, yeah, this is fucking 90s bullshit. 90s where it's, like,
extreme.
Carnage is basically, like, if you totally misunderstood what people liked about Venom, and was just like, we're just making extreme and violent, because that's what people like.
Right.
And so you got shit like a lot of comics in the 90s. Maximum Carnage, which is garbage.
Yeah.
Which rhymes.
Maximum Garbage.
Maximum Garbage.
There you go, guys. I took the low-hanging fruit.
Shut up, you anti-Semite.
No.
Oh, no.
I love your holidays.
Wow.
I'm trying to make it better, but I just keep making it worse.
Neil, you're coming off really desperate right now.
Oh,
and I'm not a fan.
Oh.
I always loved Hanukkah better than Christmas.
This is why I can only get one date.
I always loved Chanukah.
Oh, God.
Man. So
let me ask you this. So okay. Several reviews have said it's, like, so bad it's good. Would you describe Venom as such?
It's partly. Like, so, like, it's not, like, consistently so bad it's good.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes, like, it does drag a bit. Like, I think Neil asked me, and I found describing the movie a little daunting. So, like, the best way I could describe it, and this might not be the most accessible analogy, but, okay, if you're like us and you're kind of familiar with bad movies, it's less The Room and more like Book of Henry. You know, like, it's kind of more like there's a lot of questionable decisions in there, and you can tell that there's some remnants of a script from the 90s and 2000s in there, because, like, apparently this they still had some elements from, like, a Venom movie that they were trying to get at the door, like, back after Spider-Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it really feels like someone took, like, the Spawn movie and, like, the Mask and, like,
threw it in a blender. Because I've heard a lot of people go, like, Film Brain compared it to Spawn, in which I could totally see it being like Spawn.
Right, yeah.
Because I think I think Spawn gets kind of forgotten in how awful it is. Like,
and Johnny Legs.
What
was it? The Violator? Is that his name? The clown?
Yeah, no, that's John Leguizamo, yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Legs.
I don't know. What the fuck are you talking? What are you...
Get on my level with the nicknames. Okay, Joey Mango is Joe Manganiello, and Johnny Legs is Joe... And Joey Pants is Joe Pantoliano.
So do you fucking, like, play poker with him, like, every week? Like, what the fuck?
No.
You gonna call him up on your phone? Is he in your contacts?
Johnny Legs.
John
Leguizamo.
What? What's my nickname, Steven?
Anti-Semite.
No!
Oh, no! It just keeps happening. I set you up for that one.
I don't know what I expected.
But yeah, it's... I would describe it more as like a Book of Henry, where it's like there's a lot of like really questionable decisions, but it's not like so... It's not like the Room level.
It's not like hilarious, but it's more just baffling.
It's definitely baffling, but not like hilariously baffling all the time. Like, sometimes it is. Don't get me wrong. Like, okay, what... Like, my favorite and simultaneously least favorite part of the movie... is
saying something.
Right. So, like, Riz Ahmed's the one that gets the riot
villain.
Symbiote.
He's a villain.
He also gets, like, the riot symbiote at the end.
Yeah.
Like, near the end. So, and, like, at some point, the symbiotes kind of get separated from their hosts, and it's just Riz Ahmed and, like, Tom Hardy just kind of on this, like, weird platform by a space shuttle. And Riz Ahmed is doing his whole, like, villain speech, like, you were weak, Brock. You're never gonna live to your full potential, whatever. And then, like, Tom Hardy just, like, walks up to him and, like, nudges him with his foot, like, off the ledge. And then, like, but then they ruin it by, like, ADRing Tom Hardy saying, you talk too much. Which, like, if you know me, the thing I hate the most in movies is, like, the cliche lines and dialogue, and specifically, you talk too much. I think that line is so overused, and it's always used when just the villain says anything. Like, it's... Like, it used to be... Like, here's the thing. Here's, Deadpool 1.
Steven's got some thoughts.
Okay, like, if you're going to do this, like, if you're going to have a joke like this, at least change the wording. And a good example I'm going to use is Deadpool. Like, when Colossus is giving him his speech, like, it's 4 or 5 moments. You don't have to be a hero every day. Like, just there's going to be a few moments in your life that are going to define you. And then Deadpool's like, pfft. And it's like, you just kept going on and on. Like, that's basically him saying you talk too much and shooting the guy. But it's like, hey, they changed up the words. Ryan Reynolds and these people know what a cliche line is and how to avoid it. And
well also, it's perfectly punctuated with Colossus vomiting.
Yeah, which, right.
Which is probably my favorite thing in the entire movie. Just that little, like,
that's a big metal dude vomiting.
Yeah.
You guys have some weird kinks.
Don't kink.
Oh, I'm kink shaming.
Don't kink blame me.
Shut up.
Come on.
Look, it's already out there.
So,
I don't even need to say it anymore.
Oh, speaking of kink shaming, have you heard about the really weird thing that's in Venom?
You have to be more specific.
So, at some point,
I'm not looking
the Venom symbiote gets separated from Eddie, like, and then Eddie gets kidnapped by Riz Ahmed. Riz Ahmed's like, where's the symbiote? Where'd you get it? He's like, I don't know where it is, but I'd never tell you, even if I knew where it was. But then Venom, like, Eddie Brock gets out. And then what happens is Michelle Williams, who, again, has been, like, totally screwed over by Eddie Brock and really has no reason to help
him. You can say that about Michelle Williams as an actress.
As an actress, right.
In this movie.
So, Michelle Williams recognizes that the symbiote is in a tiny dog, right? She, like, just sees the dog's, like, eyes, like, blink or flare up or whatever. So then the next... So, Tom Hardy's just in the woods somewhere. It's like the same woods as before, so they clearly just filmed like two different...
Is that the one where he's chased like by like the dune buggy?
That's when he first leaves the facility to get the Finn and Simbi. This is after he leaves the same facility after they kidnapped him.
Because I remember that looked absurd in the trailer, where like he crashes through a tree trunk.
Yeah, that's like the equivalent of like in the Amazing Spider-Man movie when... Andrew Garfield's, like, hitting people on the subway.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's, like, the equivalent of that. Like, he's running to get away, and he keeps breaking through trees and going, what the hell am I doing this? And then he climbs a tree really fast and whatever. So...
Does he do it like Sabretooth in X-Men?
Oh, no, you don't even see it. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
he's just up in the tree.
It just cuts to him up in the tree while he's like... Yeah.
Probably a smart decision.
I almost wish that happened where he does that, like, Sabretooth run that Liev Schreiber does.
Oh, yeah.
So,
in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
So, Michelle Williams... like, recognizes that this symbiote is in a dog. And then, so Tom Hardy's just in the woods. And then all of a sudden, like, I guess sexy Venom shows up? And it's like Venom, but like a female body walks up to him and then just starts, like, making out with him. And then as the symbiote goes from Michelle Williams to Tom Hardy, and then it's like, oh, that was weird, Michelle Williams. And she said, yeah, it was Venom's idea. He thought that'd be... fun. It's like this is gonna be on so many freaking DeviantArt pages. Like, it's so weird.
Oh yeah,
wow, they shouldn't have done that Devil's Triangle. You know, that drinking game.
That drinking game where they boof.
No, yeah. It's a drinking game. Anyway, Venom's apparently nominated for Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah. So it's like I think to give Sony credit, like, I guess they still made like a weird movie that feels different than a lot of superhero movies, but
the problem is
what's different some ways and very obviously a superhero movie in the most like generic ways.
Yeah, it is a very generic superhero movie in other ways. Yeah,
I think my question is all the weird stuff, is it intentionally weird or is it unintentionally weird?
That's... some of it is definitely intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that
some of it's definitely, like, more weird than funny, and I think they were trying to go for it being funny, like, how weird it is.
Well, I've heard it has, like, crazy tonal shifts.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of it's very much played for laughs.
Well, like, he's, like, you know, he's feeling really sick. He doesn't know, like, you know, the symbiote's kind of, like, having a weird reaction with him. He goes home, and he's like, and then he just starts eating, like, tater tots, like, out of, like, the freezer. Just, like, frozen tater tots. And that becomes, like, a recurring thing. I guess Venom just craves tater tots, so they keep, like, throwing tater tots in, like, the oven.
Venom and me both.
Yeah.
Wow. What an endearing thing.
Yeah.
Venom loves tots.
Just like me.
It's some of it's definitely, like, you know, like, they're trying to go for, like, a weird, like, sitcom-y, like, vibe. Like, oh, Tom Hardy's acting kind of weird. He's eating a lobster, like, fresh from the tank.
Oh, that's I remember that. I've seen that.
Yeah. This
movie sounds like a tonal nightmare.
Like, I could talk about these scenes for a while, and it'll feel like I'm describing The Room, but there really is, like, a half hour where it drags.
The whole first act is, like, boring as fuck, right?
Well, like, the opening of the movie is, like, a spaceship that has life written on the side of it, so maybe that life movie was supposed to be a backdoor Venom pilot. Like, I don't know, like, it's like the Life Foundation or the Life... like,
because that's Resonance Company, right?
Yeah. So, like, maybe life was supposed to be connected to Venom. I don't know. Whatever. So, the spaceship just crashes to Earth. That's like the first scene.
And then
the symbiote comes out, takes over somebody. It kills everybody. Like, just, you know, people are just dying left and right. And then it takes over some EMP person. And they just start walking down the street instead of just, like, you know, taking them while they were driving the truck or driving the ambulance and just driving there. But instead, it's like it caused a wreck, and now they're just walking down the street for a while. And then it's just like, Venom. And then the rap music starts playing, and it's just so, like, the huge tonal shift there.
Fucking Young MC plays.
And it, like,
to move.
And it literally cuts to, like, Tom Hardy just, like, in bed, like, there's a part where frickin' Tom Hardy and, I guess it was Michelle Williams. Yeah, like, they kind of, like, fool around and make out. And then, like, right before they, like, have sex. It's like the music's playing, like, na 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 na. They go in the bed and then just cuts to, like, they're just collapsed, like, just, like, in bed, just, like, asleep.
That's funny.
And it's just, like, a sudden shift. And it's like, Like, I just had this weird, like, look on my face. Like, I don't know if that was deliberate or not, but I think it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, it sounds hilarious. This question is just like, was that intentional or not?
What's the name of the director?
Ruben Fleischer.
Ruben Fleischer.
He's the Zombieland guy.
My mortal enemy.
Wow, Neil.
I don't like Ruben Fleischer.
Yeah, but he did
Zombieland, which is good, but he also did Gangster Squad, which was like a movie that Neil really hated.
I hate Gangster Squad. I hate that movie. He also made 30 Minutes or Less.
I was going to say, like, I was the one to, like, really give him shit about, I would say 30 Minutes or Less.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
that one was based on a real thing, too, right?
Well, it was based on a real thing where a guy fucking died.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really horrible case, and the movie's like, what if we added penis jokes?
What if we had that, but it's like the same thing, but it's funny?
Except
or
it's
should
not
I say,
funny.
Funnier.
Except it's not funny. It is a horribly unfunny comedy.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Danny McBride and Nick Swardson are kind of funny in there. Fred Ward is great whenever he shows up. But
oh, that's right.
Fred Ward's in there for a little bit, but that's like
it's not often I hear praise from Nick Swardson or about Nick Swardson.
Yeah, because it's not a Happy Madison.
It's not a Happy Madison.
He got ever since he fell in with that Happy Madison crowd.
This is around the same time as like Bucky Larson.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was around that time.
I remember really liking his stand-up back when he was, like, 18.
Yeah, his stand-up was funny. That movie, like,
then
the...
he sold out. Man,
like,
sold
the
out.
Benchwarmers or whatever. It's not a funny movie.
Oh, yeah.
But Nick Swardson in the Benchwarmers is fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
As, like, the albino who can't go into the sunlight.
That was the, oh, God, that was like the gateway movie to the Happy Madison, because that had David Spade in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
And Napoleon Dynamite.
John Heder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's up to now. Probably living a nice life.
Probably living a nice life.
He's probably getting royalties from Napoleon Dynamite, but also finding, like, peaceful shit that has nothing to do with Hollywood.
He's suing Macy's that are trying to sell Vote for Pedro knockoff shirts, because apparently that happened.
I feel bad for anyone that wears a Vote for Pedro shirt now.
Yeah, it's okay.
That means they're probably voting, though, so that's cool.
Oh, yeah. All right, P.S., go out and vote.
Don't rock the vote. Actually, go vote. That movie sounds like a tonal nightmare. Okay. Oh, my God.
But, my favorite line from the movie, and again, this is spoilers. In the end, it kind of looks like Venom, like, defeats Riot by, like, explodinating the shuttle that Riot's trying to get in so that he can go to space and then bring symbiotes to Earth. So he explodinates the ship, and I guess the fire, like, you know, covers him. And the movie told us and didn't really show us, but it told us that fire is also a weakness of Venom, along with the sound waves that they really explained are a weakness. But, like, at one point it's like, you know, no, don't, I can't have an MRI. The sound waves are lethal to Venom. And it's like, okay, anything else I should know? Fire? Oh, okay. Fire's also a weakness. Okay, we don't see fire really ever being a problem until the end. And so, Venom/Eddie Brock is falling to the water, and the fire covers Venom, and Venom's like, goodbye, Eddie, brr. And then it's just like
fuck I ever had, Eddie.
So Eddie's just like in the water, and then like I guess the next day, Eddie is talking to Michelle Williams, and it looks like they're back together, which is terrible. Like, it just... I don't think he earned getting back together with her personally.
Yeah, he sounds like an awful person.
He apologizes, but it's like the way he phrases
it's a Louis C.K. type of apology.
The way he apologized wasn't like, "Hey, I'm sorry for like invading your privacy, stealing your information, and then getting you fired and like violating your trust." He says like whatever I did, I'm sorry for everything I did, which is just like the most. You know, I don't know what I did to piss you off, but please take me back. I'm sorry, kind of apology. Yeah.
I'm sorry you got upset at me.
Pretty much.
I'm sorry I got caught.
So, yeah, it's like Steven and I had a conversation where Steven was like, Neil, if I told you whatever I did, I'm sorry. Would you think that I was like having a real apology? And I told him, no, I'd think that you were being a fucking asshole.
Sorry you work for an evil person.
Right. So they're having a scene, and it's like, oh, so how are you doing now? Like, oh, I got a new job. What about you, Eddie? Like, oh, I got an interview lined up. You know, it's like, oh, who with? And it's like, you're just going to have to find out later. And it's
a manager at the local Waffle House, baby.
So... And it's like, oh, it's like, do you miss, like, the powers? Like, Michelle Williams has, like, a joke, like, yeah, it felt really powerful, like, having that for the briefest time. And it's like, yeah, sorry about Venom.
It's just like the weirdest line. You know, it's not like, hey, like, sorry about, you know, like if that were like an MCU movie and like it was like Captain America, it'd be like, it would be like, hey, sorry about Captain America. You know, it'd be like, sorry about Steve. Me. Like, yeah, it'd be like, sorry about Steve. You know, so just having it like, hey, sorry about Venom.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, like, parasite thing that was like...
Sorry I shot you.
Yeah, face off. Sorry I shot you.
Hey.
Someone tell me what planet I'm on.
Hey, I'm sorry about Mr. Poopy Butthole. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's just such a weird...
It's a question.
Yes.
Is the actual last line of the movie before the the after credit scene, the turn the winds?
Almost.
It's like a turd in the wind. So don't let me like catch you in here again. And then the guy's like, and then like Venom's like, oh, on second thought, and he like does it anyway. And then Eddie does the whole like, oh, I'm sorry, I have a parasite. Later, Mrs. Chen. And then it's just him walking down the street talking to Venom in his head, and like, and then it, that's the end of the movie. Just like him doing the, hey, if you're going to stick around, we can only do, like, we can only kill bad people. Like, that's the last part of the movie.
And then Walking on Sunshine starts playing.
No, it's Venom by Eminem.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Come on.
So.
It's like a pedantic here.
I know. So, yeah, it is a train wreck of a movie. I wish I could say it's so bad it's good. But it's just not consistently hilariously bad. It is at parts.
It's not like Jupiter Ascending or something like that. It's just so wacky.
It's not like The Room, where literally every scene has something to laugh at.
Yeah,
it's like it drags for like 30 minutes. If it's on like Hulu or something, you know, you can like watch or Netflix, like watch like the beginning of it. But then you can pretty much just fast forward until, like, maybe Venom shows up.
So how are the Venom scenes?
Venom's fine. I think the character is portrayed pretty accurately. Like, Venom does have, like, a weird sense of humor in the comics and whatnot. Like, I remember Venom a lot from, like, that the PlayStation N64 Spider-Man game that's based on the animated series, where Venom just has like this weird, like he's kind of the weird goofy one that's like always like trolling Spider-Man as they team up.
Yeah.
You know, like he kidnaps Mary Jane because he thinks like Spider-Man's like he committed a crime, but it's actually like Chameleon or Mysterio.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, it was like, that wasn't me, Eddie. That was like some other villain. It was like, oh, I didn't know. You know, our bad, you know. And then it's just like, you know, Mary Jane's just sorry about Venom. And like Mary Jane's like, just get me out of here, Peter. And it's like, ooh, you're in the doghouse now, dude. Whipped. And I was like, oh, let's go to the Bugle and like, you know, like start using their database and something. And then like Venom's just like, ooh, are we going to surf the web? Like he's just that kind of troll.
And Spider-Man's just like, get the fuck out of here.
Like he basically is. Like it's just one of those rare situations where like Spider-Man has to be the straight man in like the buddy cop dynamic. And so like Venom is pretty much like that in the movie, where he does kind of have like that weird sense of humor. And like, yeah, turd in the wind kind of, it's a weird line, but it doesn't feel super out of character for how Venom is portrayed in the movie. It's just a really weird line, you know? It just is.
Do we know who wrote this?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't count that into many names.
Yeah. I will say
that. Does Tom Holland show up?
No.
Okay. So there's no, like, references anything to Spider-Man Homecoming?
No, honestly.
No, because this is mostly a Sony joint.
I know, but, like, I think, like, the plan is to have him show up in, like, a future movie or something.
Eventually,
but, like,
maybe.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, like, they can't have Spider-Man as, like, the main person.
No. Like,
yeah.
I meant, like, a cameo.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think there were talks of that. Like, I would say, like, given, like, Sony's past, like, Amazing Spider-Man 2, like, this movie didn't really, like, cram references to other things. Like, I didn't feel like this was, like, an ad for, like, a future Morbius movie or anything like that. Like, this really does feel like a standalone.
Plasma!
Like, I need plasma!
It's to me,
it doesn't feel like an advertisement for like a Kraven movie or a Morbius movie. It was like a Venom standalone.
Well, now
thing.
I want a Kraven movie, so thanks.
Well, I think they're doing a Kraven movie.
Are they? Who's in it?
I don't know who's in it, but I mean, I think the big speculation is that it's going to be like a Kraven's Last Hunt type story.
Ooh,
yeah.
Which is
the Kraven story to do, from what I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, you could. There's a lot of flexibility with him. Mm-hmm. I feel like. I would love to see him and Tom Holland, like right. a Spider-Man movie with Kraven.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun. Because mm-hmm. I feel like Spider-Man has so many good villains.
Oh, yeah.
And we kind of forget that. Like, I know, like, Batman's always kind of put up here as, like, the best rogues gallery. But it's like, Spider-Man is a really good rogues gallery.
Oh, yeah. Spider-Man is definitely, like, the most comparable to
but
Batman.
But he's also been, like, his rogues gallery has kind of gotten the shaft in terms of, like, actual good portrayals.
Well, you got to keep throwing that Green Goblin in there, you know?
Well, that's
you
the thing. And, like, Green Goblin wasn't even, like, his original, like, main villain
right.
until, like,
it,
later.
Like Dr. Octopus Dr. was Octopus. It earlier, right?
Yeah, he was, like, the main guy.
Yeah, and then Green Goblin showed up and just, like, really wrecked his shit. So it's like, here's the new arch nemesis
now. It's really Gwen Stacy that kind of made it like, oh, this is his nemesis because it's because
he had the biggest
impact. Green Goblin that Gwen Stacy was put in that situation and she died.
But did Norman Osborn ever date Aunt May, though?
Yes.
Really?
I don't know, probably. No. I know that...
From what I've heard of Norman Osborn, that actually wouldn't surprise
no,
me.
No, but he did fuck Gwen Stacy. So
that's right, he did.
That is right, he did. That is a thing.
Yeah.
Right. Aunt May married J. Jonah Jameson.
That's true.
At one point.
Yeah.
It's fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man is just, like, the biggest soap opera of a superhero, like, ever.
Yeah.
It's kind of delightful.
So, speaking of Spider-Man and Dr. Octopus, you got the Spider-Man Sony game.
Yeah, dude. Like, I've done a lot of shit.
I, like, did shit.
Like, I'm still going to be the center of attention. All right, deal with it. But, yeah.
All I will say is that I know this is, like, Sony trying to, like, prove that they're, like, you know, worthy to keep the... You know, the Spider-Man rights and whatnot or, like, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, considering that they've pretty much... shit every chance that they've had. But to me, it reminds me a lot of Fredo shouting, "I'm smart!
I'm not dumb, I'm smart!"
That's what it sounds like. That's what Sony seems like to me with
Venom. Godfather Part 2 sometimes.
Yeah.
But that's what Venom...
I believe it's called Godfather also.
Godfather as well.
Godfather
again!
Godfather 2 with like T-O-O.
Like look who's talking
with an exclamation mark. Like Jeb.
The Offering? Is that what it's called? Godfather 2, The Offering?
But that's what Venom seems like to me, where there's like, I'm smart! I'm not dumb like everyone thinks! And it's like, oh, God.
I want to say this. Like, I mean, if Sony's aim was to, like, do, like, a Spider-Man world... cinematic universe where like Spider-Man isn't the main hero of it and they're trying to set up some big like Sinister Six type Avengers movie but like their plan was that if they can't do it with Spider-Man have Venom be like the hero of this world like in a weird way like that would be kind of cool like I'd be fine
it sounds fine on paper
if this is that analogy's Iron Man it is not a good not a good stepping
point.
Cletus coming up. I want to tell you about the Avengers Initiative.
And it sounded like, okay.
If this was their
Let
iron.
Let me adjust my wig. Let me tell you about the Carnage Initiative.
Like, you can clearly, like, see, like, the folds of the bald cap.
Yeah, if this was going to be their Iron Man, they really shit the bed.
Yeah.
Do you think he, like, literally, like, we mentioned Lex Luthor before. Do you think, like, literally, like, when they shaved his head in Batman v Superman, they just, like, threw it at Woody Harrelson? Like, here you go. They're the same fucking jail.
Not quite.
Yeah. It's,
God.
Yeah. But it's a Spider-Man game. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a great job with the characters. I feel like it's probably the most I've enjoyed a Spider-Man game in a long time, probably since Web of Shadows. And Web of Shadows is, like, I enjoy the gameplay, but, like, as far as, like, the story goes, like, it's kind of more like I enjoy it ironically because, like, the voice acting is kind of terrible and the failing the QuickTime events is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's the one where you have the trivia with Wolverine.
Yeah, the trivia. Who served us cake and pie?
Is it Steve Blum?
Yeah, it was Steve Blum. Yeah, it was Steve Blum.
Who served us cake and pie?
Yeah, like that's like the third or fourth question he asks.
I want to hear about bears and rabbits.
You know, it's like, what were your parents' real names? You know, because like, you're trying to prove you're really Spider-Man to him. And it's like, and then just like the fourth question or so is like, who served us cake and pie? And, so, yeah, but like, I never played the Spider-Man 2 game. Like, I never played it. I played the first Spider-Man game, funnily enough.
Did you ever play 2?
I never played Spider-Man 2.
Wow, you fucker.
I know that's supposed to be the gold standard of web-slinging.
Well, it's the one that started it.
Yeah, it started it. Because
before you had, like, the first movie game.
It was just up in the air.
Up in the air, you just kind of swung. Yeah. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is, like,
It was no different than, like, the PlayStation N64 one that I'm describing. Like, it was literally just kind of
I think it was, like, the same people that made it.
Neversoft?
Yeah. I think Neversoft made, like, the early ones, too.
Right.
They made the Tony Hawk games, and Spider-Man, like, showed up in one of those.
Yeah.
So, but the Bears and Rabbits lines from the Batman Begins video game.
Oh, I played that.
Yeah, where he's like, I want to hear about bears and rabbits.
I do remember that now, yeah.
You know, exactly.
You know, that wasn't a terrible game. It was just basically like Splinter Cell, except you're Batman.
Yeah. Did you know that they were going to do a game based on The Dark Knight, but then they scrapped it and did Batman Arkham Asylum instead?
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I would have liked
Gary Oldman like was said in an interview or something like, "Yeah, we're working on it" or something. Or they're working.
Well, I mean, there was actual stuff made for it.
Yeah.
I would have liked that game, but you know what? I really can't complain with where Arkham Knight or Arkham Asylum went.
Yeah.
You know.
Of course.
Can't argue with the results.
So yeah, the Spider-Man game is really good if you haven't played it. I mean, everybody's talking about it. I think it had to have been like what sold more PS4s and. Then how many other games, like, I mean, what other, like, console sellers sold as many PS4s?
The Order.
The Order 1886. Gunshot fade to black ending. Yep. My God. But yeah, like, this, like, I remember just seeing so many memes about, like, how much this was a console seller, you know? Like, I saw, like, one. It was, like, when your girlfriend, like, walks out, like, you know, it's like, my girlfriend went into a Best Buy and then came out with a Spider-Man PS4 box. Man, like, no condoms. We're having 12 kids. Like, we're just nonstop. You better freaking get that girl pregnant.
Wow.
She's worth keeping. You know, like, it's just like so many memes like that. Like,
put your stank on that, lady.
Put your stank on it. Yeah.
God.
But, like, I really
feminism. At work.
I really dig the Spider-Man game. The big giant white spider on his chest, like, I warmed up to it eventually. Like, it's one of those that it's just jarring at first, but you kind of get used to it.
Well, at the same time, like, it's like, you just wear other costumes.
Right.
That's kind of how I see it.
They were not shy about, like, I mean, at no point did they say, like, you know, like, hey, people might not like it. But they were like, oh, you can wear whatever costume you want. And here's, like, 30 different costumes. You can wear a weird freaking Ghost Rider Spider-Man costume, which looks so weird. Like, he's, like, bulkier than all of them, too. And it's,
It's like if Dr. Manhattan fucked Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
I think one of the best things that they could have done with that game, which they did, was photo mode. That is the source of so many great things that people have posted. I know, like, I spent 20 minutes one day, like, just, like, I think one of the hidden camera things, one of the hidden photo ops is, like, people playing basketball in... Is Rucker Park in New York? Is it Rucker Park?
You're the one that has family
Lincoln,
in New York.
No, I don't think...
is it Lincoln Park?
It might be Lincoln. No. It's like Lincoln Squares. I don't know. Shut up. Doesn't even matter how hard you try. That line's in 6 of our songs.
It is.
What was the Spider-Man song? He did like, Spider-Man, Spider-Man, you supposedly swallow 8 of them a year.
Statistically, I swallow 8 of them in my life.
You can put that on Twitter.
I should. Yeah.
Do it.
So there's a hidden photo op of like just people, like these two guys like playing basketball, and you can just like snap a shot of it. So I was like, oh, I'm going to try and get a photo op. And it's like, I didn't want to interrupt the game, so I was trying to, like, jump and, like, do, like, a jump punch and then, like, position the camera to make it look like Spider-Man was, like, dunking a basketball as somebody was shooting it. It took me 20 minutes to get that shot.
Yeah, I mean, in your defense, it's a great shot.
Yeah, and creating that classic scene from Big Mama's House, too.
It's Spider-Man in, like, the homecoming, like, homemade suit.
That's my favorite Spider-Man suit.
It looks really good in-game,
too. Well, it's like, I mean, like, just in general, it's charming.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like... I don't know. It doesn't feel like something shitty, like or like kind of unrealistic, yeah, like the other ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like
it's not. Like, it's not like Tobey Maguire's first draft that was like the super, like, which was the costume.
But also, like, I think the one in...
Although I do like his wrestling costume.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that's great. Costume.
Yeah, the wrestling one was good.
I know we're talking about realism in a story about a kid who gets bitten by a fucking radioactive spider and doesn't die a horrible death.
Of course. That happened to Jerry, like, last week.
You should say hi to his mom. She's
calling. She calls.
She's very upset. But, I mean, like, this one is just like, yeah, I could believe that this was a costume that he literally threw together from things he found at, like, fucking Kohl's or Goodwill.
Or the dump.
Or the, well, you know.
Or Goodwill.
I mean, granted, without, like, the web slingers and the goggles and whatnot. But, like, that's what I like about it. And it's just got this great form to it. And the colors are lovely, and it's so good. I want a toy. I want a toy of it. I went looking for a toy, and I found one for... You were like, you're not going to find one for under $20. Found one for $11, so eat my dick.
Wow, that escalated. Yeah. You can eat his dick if you want to, Steven.
Only if you want
consent
to.
On this podcast. Anyway.
Is that a new policy?
It is now.
Shut up.
I mean, I'm sure you've heard it, but from, like, 80,000 other people. But, yeah, that new Spider-Man game, it's pretty awesome.
It is kind of funny to think of it as a system seller, even though it's, like, kind of, like...
Like, it's kind of nearing the end of the PS4 era.
I guess it's, like, a first-party game. Yeah. It's weird to think of it as a first-party game.
It's a PS4 exclusive.
Because, like, obviously Sony owns the rights, and they created the PlayStation 4. Yeah. So it's, like, weird to think of it because it is, like, this, like, known property... it's like if Nintendo had, like, oh, we have the rights to, like, Iron Man, and they just made, like, a really killer Iron Man game.
Yeah.
It's, like, weird, like, the system sells Iron Man game for the Switch.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay, so it's kind of this weird...
I can see your point there, like, yeah, I mean, Nintendo's got a lot of other, like, system stuff.
No, I'm just saying, an example, because it's, like, it would be a non-Nintendo property.
Yeah.
But, like, I have to remind myself that it is, like, Spider-Man is technically a Sony property.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird.
It's weird to think of it that way. Yeah.
Can't wait for Sony Battleground All Stars, whatever the fuck it's called, PlayStation All Stars.
PlayStation All Stars, I think, is what it was called.
Where it's got fucking Spider-Man fighting fucking Ryu and like.
I didn't know about that.
And Raiden. Well, no, I'm just
it's
saying.
It's gonna
like,
be like Asura. Is Asura.
Well, now I want it.
No, Asura was Asura placed Sony exclusive. Asura's Wrath.
I don't remember.
You got the God of War guy, Kratos. You got Nathan Drake was in there. Crash Bandicoot. Was Crash Bandicoot not in it?
I think. No, he wasn't, because he wasn't Sony anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
Sly Cooper was in it. Parappa the Rapper was in it.
Mm. Ratchet and Clank?
I think so. Which was made by the same...
Spider-Man people were made by the Ratchet and Clank people, which you can see in, like, the gadgets and the charming world building that they do.
I'm glad they had a good... system exclusive versus Sunset Overdrive, which I think was only for the Xbox One.
Xbox, yeah.
And, like, no one remembers that game.
I mean, like, people talk about it. Like, I think
they do?
Well, like, I mean, like, I think people generally liked it enough. Like, I think they liked the movement enough to be like, hey, you know, like, when they heard that Insomniac Games was doing Spider-Man, it's like, oh, the Sunset Overdrive movement, that makes sense for Spider-Man. So I think...
And that's probably, like, the first time they talked about it in, like, a few years at that point.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it is... Because I hadn't thought about Sunset Overdrive in forever.
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, like, then again, I didn't have an Xbox One.
Yeah.
I had the 360.
So. X-Bone.
The X-Bone. So, yeah, Spider-Man game, it's awesome. I think I like the wrestler suit in that game, which is, like, kind of just, like, a red sweater, like, some black sweatpants, and, like, the kind of, like, a purpley mask.
It's supposed to be, like, the original fantasy.
Right. I like that one. I mean, it's actually, the game's kind of harder than I expected it to be, too. Like, there are these, like, Taskmaster challenges in the game, and they're deceptively tough. Like... I did the combat challenges. Like, I 100%ed that game, but, like, I honestly can't tell you what I was doing differently in the ones where I got a gold than, like...
That shows you doing things right.
Right. It's really funky, like, the combo system. And, like, I know, like, it's getting lauded for the combo system. I kind of prefer Batman Arkham's combo system. At least, like, with Batman Arkham, I feel like it communicates more... It communicates better, like, oh, like, here's... This is, like, multiplying your score by this much. This is multiplying your score by this much. Like, you know, like, with the Spider-Man game, it's, like, just do something, you know, and keep the combo going. It's, like, I don't know if, like, everything is the same value or what, but I feel like the Batman game kind of communicates that a little better. The web-slinging is perfect.
Yeah.
It's really great. It's really satisfying to web-sling in that
game. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because I don't know if, like, a previous game, like, did you say that it's kind of similar to Amazing Spider-Man 2?
It really feels like a refined version of it where you kind of have a bit more, like, you get to play around with it a bit more. Like, the Amazing Spider-Man game had, because I played the first one, I didn't play 2, but I played the Amazing Spider-Man game, and it had kind of like that web zip kind of system. But it would be, like, you would stop time entirely rather than slow it. Mm. And then you would just see, like, a little hologram of Spider-Man where you wanted to go. And then it would just hang out. You'd kind of... He'd just go straight there and then kind of, like, this, you know, preordained, like, animation would play. And it kind of felt like, all right, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to watch, like, a 10-second cutscene, and then I'm just going to swing again. This one, it feels more like you have more control.
It's way more fluid.
It's more fluid. You do more with it. I think, like, it's just mostly, like, nitpick kind of stuff. Like, it feels like Web of Shadows I really liked when, like, you would kind of web-zip up a wall. Like, when you were running up a wall and you kind of, like, web-zip. But, like, in this game, it's just you're running up a wall. Speed is just the same no matter what. Mm-hmm. So you can just go, like, flat into, like, a wall, like, at a 90-degree angle against a wall, and then you just start running up. And there's more momentum that way. It doesn't look very realistic, but, you know, it keeps your momentum going. So, like, you know, it's pros and cons there. That's a personal preference thing. But I really like it. It's a great game. I poured I don't know how many hours into it. I 100%ed it in, like, what, like, 6 sittings? Something like that? 5 or 6 sittings?
It was close to that. I remember it being really quick.
Yeah. It was, like, within, like, a week of playing it after
work.
What
was, like, you had, like, one day where you played it for a long time?
Well, because, like, it came out on, like a Thursday or something, and, like, I had work the next day. And then, like, I just, like, you know, well, I had plans that Friday too. So I was like, I want to play the game.
Well, that's when we went to Cedar, not
Six Flags.
Six Flags.
We did Six Flags.
We got back super fucking late,
and I was like, I gotta see this game.
And I'm like, oh fuck it, I gotta get up in 5 hours, but I'll watch this fucking game. Cool.
And then yeah, I just played it like all weekend, and then I played it like every day after work. And you know, I get home pretty late at work, so it's not like I was playing it for like 12 hours when I got home, but it was more like 5 or 6 after work.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So, but I 100%ed it relatively quickly. Surprisingly, you don't need to like play through it again to 100%. You can 100% it in one playthrough, which is interesting. Most games kind of require like an achievement or a trophy of like, yeah, beat it on like harder mode or something. But
beat on this level, we dare you. Bet you won't do it.
what are you saying, game?
Wait a minute.
Wow, not so friendly neighborhood difficulty there.
Fuck you. It's like, whoa.
More like
friendly neighborhood asshole. Speaking
of antagonizing Spider-Man, J. Jonah Jameson is pretty great in it.
Oh, where he's Alex Jones?
Yeah, he's basically Alex Jones.
Momentarily forgot about Alex Jones.
Yep.
Speaking of which,
my life was good.
Neil hates the globalists, so...
Oh, man. Oh, I love the globalists.
My best friend is a globalist.
I love Hanukkah. No.
The globalists, and they're great. They're great latkes. And they're applesauce.
Oh, I love bagels and lox.
Hey, quick question. Has, like, Harry Osborn ever been, like, Venom in the comics?
Probably.
Because, like, I think that's... I want to say that's kind of what they're teasing in, like, a sequel to the Spider-Man game.
I'm sure at some point Harry and Aunt May... I'm sure at some point, like, Peter and Aunt May were married at some point. Just in, like, some fucking weirdo.
And Aunt May was pregnant with Venom.
They'll try.
It's weird. It was weird. Cocaine's a hell of a drug, guys.
Don't look that up on DeviantArt. You will find a lot.
On Stan Lee's official page. Wow, Stan.
Stan, I didn't know you'd be
this Stan is a real Stan for this shit.
NSFW, true believers.
Hello, true believers. Don't look at this during your lunch break.
I don't think Stan's running his account anymore.
He's been hacked. No, true believers, I have not been hacked.
I'm
just 98. I fucking love this shit. Did you know about...
Also, Stan Lee cameos in Venom for some stupid reason.
Because why not?
Because he has nothing to do with Venom's creation.
He has a tertiary relationship to him.
It's so, he's just a mandatory cameo in Marvel movies.
Well, it's like, even if, like, he created the series, like originally,
right.
He's part of it.
Well, like, he used to, like, not cameo in everything, and, like, he would only cameo in, like... certain things. Like, he wouldn't cameo in, like, Punisher. And I always kind of thought of, like, oh, well, like, he didn't really create Punisher, so that makes sense. And Punisher's, like, more of, like, an R-rated character. So, like, yeah, I didn't really, like, so what, in Deadpool it makes sense, because they're kind of making fun of the trope of, cameos. But so, like,
It might be that tertiary thing where it's, like, well, he created the X-Men, which created Weapon X, which created...
But he didn't even cameo in all the X-Men movies. He cameoed in, like, half of them.
I guess that's true. Is he? He's not in Logan, right?
No, I don't think so.
I'm actually really thankful he wasn't in Logan.
I want to be. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. But that'd be fucking hilarious. Like, he's just like a camper, like going through the Canadian border, like the kids are like.
He's one of the kids.
He's one of the kids. Yeah. No, he's the log that Logan dies on.
He's like head sticks out of it.
Oh, no. True believer.
Excelsior.
Like, he truly was a true believer.
Hey, get it? Because he's Canadian. He's still too tall.
I don't think Stanley cameoed in any of the Wolverine solos.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Except for Logan.
I mean, I'm really thankful he didn't show up in Logan because, like,
I kind of want him retroactively to be in, like, fucking, like, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
That would be awesome. Well, like, Logan has just got its own thing going on. I think if I saw Stan Lee in there, I'd be like, well, okay, all right, that didn't need to be there.
Right.
I enjoy all of his cameos. That would have been the only one where
I feel like if it was a subtle cameo, like, he's just, like, in the background.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't care.
Or something where he doesn't even say anything.
Well, yeah, like in, like, the first X-Men movie where he's just a hot dog vendor that's, like, not even in the center of the shot.
Yeah, that's when they were, like, really, like, kind of, like, subtle.
It was subtle. Like, remember in the first Spider-Man movie where he's just in, like, a quick shot?
He saves the girl.
Yeah, that's in two.
That's in two.
Oh, yeah,
in one, it's literally just a quick shot of him, like, looking up at rubble as it's coming down.
Oh, no, my one weakness, true believer. It's gravity.
It's one. Was that Stan Lee or Bernie Sanders?
No, that's the 99%.
I'm aware I look like a Muppet.
Kind of sound like Yogi Bear. Hey, boo-boo. He's not talking about, like, drying his socks on the radiator.
Fucking!
I'm just imagining fucking Bernie as Yogi Bear. Like, we gotta get the picnic baskets from the night from Wall Street. Come on, Boo Boo.
I don't know, Yogi.
Who would be Boo Boo? We have to know.
Timberlake.
No, but like I'm saying, like
in politics,
like who's like related to Bernie?
Who's the really short guy from like the 90s? George Stephanopoulos.
Oh, Ross Perot?
No, George Stephanopoulos. He was kind of like the shorter guy, right? Ross Perot is also really short.
I was just going to say Cory Booker.
Even though he's like Booker. Way taller than
he's
him.
He's way taller and doesn't sound anything like that.
Meanwhile, Orrin Hatch is just a racist that lives in Jellystone.
Oh, yeah. Don't gotta work too hard on that one.
Yeah, I know. It's a big stretch for him, I know.
Yeah, I know.
I think Spider-Man 3 was like the beginning.
I like that transition. Well, we go from Orrin Hatch to Spider-Man 3.
Well, like, I think Spider-Man 3 was the beginning of like Stan Lee's like cameos like being like a full-fledged like speaking role.
Yeah.
I think after that, he always had like a line. Other than
even Daredevil, he just got stopped by Matt Murdock.
Right.
In Last Stand, there was just a quick shot where he like had the hose.
Right.
He was watering his garden or whatever, and it was just like, blah, you know.
Right. I don't think he was in X2.
Was he in X2?
No, I think he was in the first X-Men as the hot dog vendor, and then he was in 3, but he wasn't in 2.
He's somewhere in there.
X2 was too busy being awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was. Well,
like I said, yeah. Yeah, but it's made by a fucking pedophile now, so.
Well, like I said, yeah, Stan Lee's like only in like half of the X-Men movies or something, so.
Is he in all of the prequel ones with young...
I don't remember who he is in the First Class or Days of the Future Past.
I don't think he's in
there. Yeah.
Just ignoring Apocalypse existing.
Fine with me.
I don't remember. I saw X-Men Apocalypse and I don't remember anything.
Yeah. Speaking of X-Men and not remembering anything, me and Neil watched the Jean Grey Phoenix trailer, whatever.
Yes, oh, we did.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you a fucking thing about it.
I don't know how to feel about it.
I don't remember anything about
it. The biggest red flag for me, and I know Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy are big celebrities, but it's a red flag for me when Magneto has more lines in a trailer for Dark Phoenix than both Jean Grey and Cyclops combined.
Yeah.
When I feel bad for, what's the name of Sansa? What's her name?
Sophie Turner.
Sophie Turner. I feel really bad for her because I feel like she's giving nothing.
Yeah.
Like, she's a good actress. She could do a good Jean Grey, Dark Phoenix type deal.
Of course.
And it just feels like they're just like, oh, just be angsty.
I feel like this is just like the nth X-Men trailer that I've seen where it's just Professor X and Magneto going, how do we make this story revolve around us somehow?
Yeah.
Remember, like, Days of Future Past, like, that story where Shadowcat, like, time travels and tries to prevent a horrible future? That was about us somehow. I don't know how it got to be that, but...
That movie's still pretty good,
It's
though.
Still great, but, like...
It's still a great movie.
But, like, why does everything have to revolve... Like, and you know, like, Dark Phoenix is gonna be about, like, Professor X and how he, like, withheld stuff from, like, Jean Grey about her possibly murdering her parents when she was a kid because of the whole telepathic whatever shit. So it's going to revolve around Professor X anyway.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, it really should be Jean Grey's story. It should be like Jean Grey and Cyclops' story. And
I just think it looks boring.
It looks boring as shit.
Because they're starting to bleed together now.
Yeah, they're all starting to bleed together.
Is fucking Quicksilver even in this?
I think he is.
I think I saw him.
Is he in this? That was like the one cool thing about Apocalypse.
Well, they're all 70 years old, yet they still look our age.
Yeah.
Well, now the whole fucking thing, like, the whole timeline's all fucked up and weird.
Yeah.
Because, like, how early before X-Men 1 is this? Yeah. Because, like, you could theoretically set it, like, 10 years before that.
Yeah.
And, like, make sense for the ages of Jean Grey and Scott, but with, like, James McAvoy, where... Does he have hair in this again?
No.
He doesn't? I thought I saw a shot where he had hair, but...
It was a flashback one, but not all the
So now there's a fucking flashback in this flashback of trilogy of flashbacks.
I don't think he has hair in this one, though. Hey, guys. Remember First Class?
Stop giving Bryan Singer work.
He's not working on this one.
Oh.
Simon Kinberg,
Simon Kinberg.
Don't give him work either.
Yeah, like, yeah. Bryan Singer was at least a good director.
Simon Kinberg is the... David S. Goyer of like Marvel.
20th Century Fox.
20th Century Fox, movies. There we go. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he really is. Bryan Singer has made good films. Simon Kinberg has been attached
also
to...
Dead Old Kids.
He made Valkyrie. That was a good movie.
You don't wink when you're just saying what he did.
Hey.
Neil's the one that's totally forgetting.
Adolf Hitler was a dictator. Wink, wink.
Just going back to the anti-Semitism thing. Fuck you guys.
It's pronounced globalist.
No. Okay. Globalist. Hey, Valkyrie was awesome, all right? Shut up.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, Valkyrie's great.
It's all right.
It's pretty good.
It's okay.
So the X-Men trailer looks really boring.
Oh, my God. I can't, I know it's a joke in Deadpool, but it's for real. Like, these all these movies are tying together.
Like, yeah, that's the tagline. It's like that one thing in Deadpool, but for real.
It's just a throwaway joke in a Deadpool movie, but it's very accurate.
Yeah.
All these movies are just blending together.
We're going to go back to, like, I don't know, is Colossus going to be in this one? I want to... Because I just want like
I remember
Colossus.
I remember when we were drafting our fantasy box office thing, and that became a question. Like, are there going to be two different actors playing Colossus this year? Because X-Men Dark Phoenix was set to come out this year.
Yeah,
and then it got pushed back. I was like, are there going to be two different people playing? Like, was Daniel Cudmore supposed to like return as Colossus in that one?
Yeah,
and then this Stefan Kapsik. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Kapsik. Guy from Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Okay. Mean good Colossus.
Good Colossus, yes.
Deadpool, what are you doing?
Deadpool.
It is not boy band. It is Baba Yaga. Speaking of good Stan Lee cameos, Ant-Man and the Wasp. If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's pretty solid.
It's a good movie. It's good.
It's not Black Panther, but it's probably my second favorite.
It's enjoyable.
Of the Marvel movies this year.
Yeah, I would probably agree.
Like, I liked Infinity War, but I think I liked it the least.
I really liked Infinity War, but I mean, like, I think as a film, both of those work better than Infinity War.
Yeah, I think that's what gets to me about it. Like, obviously, Infinity War is very much a culmination, and in that regard, it's like, it deserves a little bit of respect for that, because it's it's 10 years and stuff.
Oh, and the fact that it actually turned out really good is a feat on its own.
But there's also part of me that's like, man, this is like, one, it's like, I think, totally inaccessible. Yeah. For a lot of people, like there's so much baggage you have to do your homework. You have to watch like at least like fucking 2/3 of the previous movies. Probably
you got to watch at least a handful of them. Yeah.
And if you get started on King Crimson early, man, you just fucked.
I mean, they do it. I don't want to repeat our Infinity War episode.
I'll get off the topic real quick. But like, I think it's just a matter of like. I think it reminds me a lot of, like, the unsuccessful massive company crossovers of recent years with both DC and Marvel, where it's just like, oh, there's so much baggage and stuff. And, like, when Infinity War, like, hits, it hits really hard and really well. But I think there's also just, like, weird pacing issues, weird inconsistencies and stuff, where it's like, I feel like certain characters disappear for too long because there's so many characters.
Right, of course.
Yeah. And I would even say it's probably the first one because... I felt like every new Avengers movie, they're like, oh, there's this many characters, it's going to be too much. Oh, there's this many, and like, even Civil War,
that
like,
won't be a problem in the sequel.
Wink, wink. I remember when, like, Civil War was being made, and people were like, that's too many characters, and then it ended up being fine.
Yeah.
And then, like, but I feel like Infinity War, at least for this movie, this one Infinity War movie...
Yeah.
It's a little, you start to kind of feel the stitching kind of break where there's like too many and like not enough people get enough. And now it's definitely part one.
Yeah.
It's definitely like half a movie, you know, I think it feels like half a movie, just a really long half.
I feel like it feels like a movie if you see Thanos as the main character. It's a complete story if you look at it as Thanos is the main character.
Thanos was right.
Like, I think he vapes.
Yeah, I'm saying, I can't see with all this vape smoke.
Let's listen to both sides vape. Snap.
Yeah, I don't want to harp on Infinity War for too long.
Mr. I've been talking for most of this episode, Stephen.
Yeah, but it's been about Venom and Spider.
So one good thing and then Venom.
Yeah.
What are some other trailers we watched? We watched Life Itself. Not the movie, but we saw the trailer.
You guys have told me about this.
Oh, yes. My suicide note.
Yeah. Like, this movie has shown up in, like, my box office research for, like, 3 years now or something. Like,
I made 2013.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
I know it was shelved for a bit.
Who's in this
again? I wonder why.
Oscar Isaac. Antonio Banderas. Olivia Wilde. Olivia Cook is in there too.
Both of the people I mix up?
Yeah. Which I'm like, honey, get out of there. You're better than this. Annette Bening, Mandy Patinkin.
Gene Smart.
Gene Smart's in there. Like, get the fuck out of here. What are you doing?
You're in Good Things. Go back to
everyone in there is too good for this. Like,
go back to Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep, you know. Martin Scorsese. Like, come on. Laurence Olivier.
Scorsese's not even directing. He's just in it.
Michael Jordan. Orson Welles. What the fuck?
Donatello.
Both the painter and the turtle? What the fuck? Was this the Lego movie with Michelangelo?
But that trailer was my suicide note, I swear to God. Taylor could describe my face watching the trailer. It was this look of horror.
Which is just great for your face an audio-based platform.
Your face was kind of receding into your skull. Yeah.
It was like a living SpongeBob cartoon. I was just like
one of those Ren and Stimpy close-ups, you know?
Which SpongeBob also did.
Hand painted, the one of where it's you're Squidward on his day off.
Yeah. That's just me in general.
Or when SpongeBob and Squidward are trying to be Employee of the Month, they're shaking hands. It's just close-ups, and they're completely sleep deprived and scabby and gross, and their lips are chapped.
Once again, that's just me in general. Well, but, let's see. Oh, yeah, that was
life
awful.
Itself defines my life itself.
Life itself looks fucking dreadful, and we have to watch it at some point so I can just drink.
I've seen that Overlord trailer a couple of times now.
I think they've gotten rid of Hell's Bells for the subsequent trailers. I think
that's lame.
Yeah,
it's the best part of it.
It is absolutely the best part of it.
It's fucking Wolfenstein. Just call it Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Yeah.
They couldn't get the rights to Wolfenstein, so...
It looks pretty all right, though. I'll probably...
What, Overlord?
It's the Order 1886 movie that nobody asked for. Yeah, a good one. Yeah.
It looks all right.
It looks if the Order 1886 didn't take itself seriously and was just kind of schlocky.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I like about it. It does feel a little bit it knows what it is.
Yeah.
Which is what I kind of like about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I like...
Like a B movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the idea of it because it's a genre that we don't really... It's a World War II movie that's a schlocky monster movie.
Right.
And that almost never happens, at least in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I welcome it because Lord knows if I have to watch another Holocaust movie, I'm just going to get upset.
If I see that The Hate U Give trailer one more time that's lacks any subtlety about its themes...
Apparently the movie's good.
The movie's good. Yeah.
It's just the trailer really...
Steven, it's a movie that has, black people and cops. It's hard to not be subtle.
Spoiler alert.
It's got Amanda Steinberg in it, so I'm all right.
She wasn't the one from Darkest Minds.
Yes, she was.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm glad she's in something not awful.
Yeah, because Lord knows.
That doesn't look like ABC Family X-Men.
You mean Freeform. Freeform.
All of the trailers for her movies involve her with her fist in the air, teens revolt. Okay.
We need a black Katniss Everdeen.
Millennials.
Well, she was in The Hunger Games. So.
Oh, that's right. She was Rue.
She's the one who died.
That's millennials right. Unite.
Our Holy crap. Not millennials. That's the generation before us.
Yeah.
What are we? We don't know. The general definition of millennials seems to be vague and it shifts and, it kind of works towards whatever the fucking argument is. Generally old people just kind of think that young people are millennials. Anyway, unite.
Damn.
Snapchat.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, that actually blew my mind. I didn't realize that was from Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah, that was her. That's the best thing she's been in, aside from maybe The Hate U Give, apparently. The movie's good.
Yeah.
I didn't know Rue McClanahan.
God damn it.
Reprising a role from fucking Starship Troopers.
You're evicted. Get out.
There's some good people in that movie. I just seeing the trailer, it's just .
The trailer really lays it on.
The trailer is really heavy-handed.
It's these aren't even themes I disagree with. It's just ugh.
I feel the people that the movie is meant for, wouldn't even disagree with the trailer. It's we get it, but black-on-black crime or whatever.
Says all the fucking, old baby boomers, what about black-on-black crime?
I don't know. I feel the people that the movie should be aimed at aren't going to... Like, it's not going to change their minds because of how heavy-handed.
Well, also, I don't think they're going to have their minds changed by a movie.
True.
Also, I don't think they were ever going to see it. There's that, too.
That's why I find it pretty forgivable. It's like, you know, it's not mincing its words, whatever. It knows it's what fine. It is.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, it's not really, like, in... It's not really trying to be like, let's have a discussion about it. It's just kind of like,
oh, we're far past.
Because we're far past. It's like, why bother now? It's just kind of like, here it is. It's based on a book. Bam. There you go.
The same people who are like, nobody listens to each other are also the ones who cheer on whatever Trump calls Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas.
This is the most divisive we've ever been. Like, we literally had a fucking war about slavery.
Yeah, I know.
To be fair, it is a little weird that Elizabeth Warren's like, I'm going to have my DNA tested because I think I might be 1/16th Cherokee.
Well, no, it was because Donald Trump challenged her to
it. Really?
Oh, yeah. He said he would give $1 million to the charity of her choice if she could prove that she had any Native American DNA.
And then she did, because most of us do.
It was like a negligible amount, but it was still enough it's there.
It's like any of us, like, I'm like 1/16th or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's a negligible amount.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
but then of course,
all right, well,
you know,
put in my mouth.
Well, then she like then of course, you know, that comes out. And I mean, like, granted, Elizabeth Warren's handling of this has been kind of, I would say, maybe a little insensitive towards actual like indigenous tribes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also like it doesn't even compare to what Trump is saying.
Oh, of course.
But then Trump said, "Oh no, I want to deliver the test myself." And she's not going to like it. And I'm like, is that like a rape joke?
You're going to rape her?
Yeah, no, that's what he actually said.
How would you do the test yourself?
And then he tried to say, I didn't say I'd give her $1 million. Like, yes, you did. We have video proof of that.
I didn't say I fucked little kids. I fucked little kids. that was locker room talk.
Yeah.
With Brian Singer.
So that's what happened. And granted, you know, like... I think maybe Elizabeth Warren shouldn't have done anything about it anyways, because there was no way she was going to win. There was no way she was going to change anybody's minds.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who was getting onto her about it, you know, like, this was all just in bad faith. It was never going to change anyone's mind, and it was certainly never going to change hers.
I would understand if, like, she felt like an obligation because there's been this thing going on for so long.
Yeah,
but
also, it just kind of proved that that's not really what they were upset about.
Nope.
Nothing changes. Everything stays the same.
Go out and fucking vote.
And we're all dying. Anyways.
Don't fucking vote. Fuck you. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm like half kidding. But not really.
No.
Fucking vote.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Oh no, we're getting political. I think we should end it.
Let's find something else to talk about. What else have you guys
Let's talk about the Grinch. Oh,
fuck you, Taylor.
You're trying to make this work.
All right, back to politics. Yeah, now he's complaining about politics.
Brexit. All right.
Brexit.
What else have you guys been up to?
Oh, I watched the Grinch trailer.
We watched the Grinch trailer, and every time we watch the Grinch trailer, I want to die. It's horrible.
Have they revealed more people in that movie?
No. Wow. It's just Benedict Cumberbatch.
I'm thinking about Fantasy Box Office.
They haven't really revealed anyone else. It's just,
you know, it's narrated by Pharrell, right?
Yeah, and they've got Tyler the Creator doing the song.
Yeah, Tyler the Creator's doing like a song or two.
Well, he's doing like the cover of, you know, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, which I find very strange because Tyler the Creator, I love Tyler the Creator. He should not be anywhere near children.
Yep.
Yep. As a person, I'm sure he's fine, but I mean, like, his music and content and whatnot should not be there.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, one of those weird times where they use, like, it's like if Gwar did, like, a song for, like, a Pixar movie.
It's like, it'd be like if Gwar did the soundtrack to, like, Paddington. I don't know.
Well, like, I mean, I don't know anything about Tyler, the Creator, but, like, I mean, maybe play devil's advocate, Lonely Island did the Lego movie, and Lonely Island songs aren't always kid-friendly.
Well, but those are, like, strictly humorous and whatnot.
Right.
Tyler, the Creator...
What kind of music is Tyler, the Creator? I don't know anything about him.
Oh, he's rap.
It's hip-hop.
No, it's hip-hop and rap. But he's a bit of a controversial figure within the rap community.
He's definitely, like, indie hip-hop.
He's definitely independent, and I don't even think he really believes, like, actual, like, homophobic stuff, but there's been, like, some controversy in the past with his content. But once again, it's one of those, like, you know, how much of this is, like, the character that he's rapping and how much of this is actually
also
him.
Didn't he come out as bisexual?
Yeah, he came out as bisexual, and he's, like, best friends with, like, Frank Ocean, who is also bisexual.
Right, yeah.
Or who might as well be gay, I don't know.
Wow, Neil.
I love Frank Ocean, it's great.
Might as well be gay. They're under the gay umbrella.
No, they are. No, I think with Frank Ocean, I can't remember if it, like, kind of... If he's come out strictly as bisexual or if it's just, like, gay. You know,
okay.
I don't know. I think it's still kind of, like, up in the air. But, like...
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys see a trailer for that one?
Up in the Air, yeah. We went back and watched the trailer for Up in the Air.
I went and bought it 7 years ago.
Must have been a good trailer.
It was.
Damn.
It was a great trailer.
Back in time. Up in the Air.
But, let's see. What other trailers did we see? Because I can't... this is miserable. We saw First Man.
We gotta talk more about the Grinch.
I don't want... What is there to say?
Oh, fuck you, Taylor!
What is there to say about the Grinch trailer? It's exactly
I'm glad that
I
they finally showed that he dresses as Santa and steals gifts, because everything before this trailer...
But they don't show him planting the United States flag on the moon, though.
That's true. I remember in the original of the Grinch Stole Christmas, where he also did that, and he freed the slaves, and he signed the Declaration of Independence.
He bends down to pet Max. That's disrespectful to the troops.
He takes a knee and pet his dog.
You salute that dog.
That dog did a lot for you. You would be kneeling if it wasn't for Max.
I don't know why they've included, like, the dumb water buffalo animal as, like, his
pet. Oh, yeah, that's
pet.
So weird.
It's so clearly, like, cynical. Like, we're going to sell toys.
Like, it's
this.
A cute thing of a movie.
Like, that's great. You know who that was?
So it's like it's another, like, Minion trying to, like...
Well, it's not, like, directly Minion. Like the Minions, but it's very much like, here's a new character that's here. Just,
here's a Porg.
No, not Porgs. Like, Porgs are in, like, 5 minutes of that movie.
Right.
This is a side character
so
of
Minion,
the movie.
So it's a Minion.
Right, but I'm trying to, like, illustrate its... It, I don't know, it... It's, like, literally just there for, like...
Merchandise. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if the thing is going to take over the movie like Minions did, but it's very much like, this doesn't belong here. Why is this here? At least, like, in the first Despicable Me, the Minions were, like, in it, like, just enough where it wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
This feels, like, very invasive.
Yeah.
And it feels like humor from the mid-2000s.
Yes.
A lot of it. Like, the shot of, like, oh, the Grinch, like... does squats in, like, Max's face, and the undies say, like, go time. It's like, wow, I remember when this was called a DreamWorks movie in 2005.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why the hell go time?
I don't know. That's, like, I don't know if that's, like, his thing in the movie, because he does say go time after it. And I don't know. It's very weird, like... It feels like they just saw, like, screenshots of the previous,
why go time? That baffles me so much. Why isn't it just, like humbug or something like that, you know? Like, something a bit more
Or thematic. Something that sounds like Dr. Seuss wrote it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me
humbug.
Really want to... We do Ron Howard's The Grinch kind of an apology.
Oh, my dad, like, I told you guys, like, I was having lunch with my parents, and my dad, who is, like, you know, a big stickler about a lot of things, even he was like, you know, I'll give the Ron Howard Grinch movies credit. It was inventive.
Yeah. It still feels like it's a little bit more on brand for,
like,
a Seuss thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem.
It still kind of has, like, the message behind.
Yeah. Like, it definitely, the message is kind of, like...
Muddled.
And the Whos are sociopaths.
And the Whos are sociopaths. But I'll take it over, like... I don't know what the fuck this is. This is where he doesn't even live in a cave. He doesn't even live in Mount Crumpet. It's
no.
Like he lives in, like, another house that, like, might be on the mountain, but inside, like, they show the interior of, like, his bedroom several times. It's just, like, a bedroom. It's not, like, you know, a dank, gross
cave. It's not a dank cave, yeah.
And it's like, what? Did you just see, like snippets? Did you see screenshots of the original movies?
I mean, I remember the original teaser trailer showing, like, the bedroom, and it kind of just looked like...
Like, it's, like red wall.
It was, like, a... It was, like, a colorful version of, like, Wallace's bedroom from, like, Wallace and
Gromit.
Like, a bunch of, like, freaking, like, Rube Goldberg machine contraption-type stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, like...
And, like, it... I don't know. Like, it just seems so... like very, it does feel like a like really cynical in the way that it's like, well, we have the rights to Dr. Seuss, so let's just make like a Grinch movie, but like a lot of the stuff's kind of different. Like his attitude's really different. Like his character feels different. Like he's still kind of a dick, but it's not like he hates Christmas. Like I don't get the vibe from this Grinch in this trailer that he hates Christmas.
It feels very. It feels very like the edges have been softened.
Yeah, and like.
To make it really friendly for kids.
Max has a faux hawk for some reason.
Is this the trailer where, like it ends with him in, like, a grocery store, like, putting something that was
that's, like, trailer one or whatever. This is definitely the newest trailer.
Oh, okay.
Because now they're, like, really starting to advertise the movie because it's, like, out in, like, a few weeks.
Right.
It's, like, what, November 5th or some
Is it November?
It's definitely November.
Yeah, it's definitely in November.
Yeah. I'm surprised you're not, like, pushing it out, like, Halloween. Like, get that fucking Christmas money.
Yeah. No, you stay in your lane, Grinch.
Hey, man.
You can take Thanksgiving, but Christmas, Halloween.
Christmas starts November 1st, okay?
Yeah. Midnight, November 1st.
As soon as we're done scaring people and egging doors, it's Christmas season.
It's like a bell sounds all around the world. They're like, oh, it's midnight, November 1st. Everyone go home. Gotta get ready for Christmas. It's good. What about Thanksgiving? Shut up.
Take it,
Christmas.
Yeah, tuck your kids in.
Tuck them in.
Tuck.
Give the ball to Tucker. Give the ball to Tucker. Take the shot. Take the shot, Tucker.
Anyways.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Take the shot.
Anyways, the Grinch trailer is horribly disappointing, and it makes me miserable. And
are there any trailers that fill you with hope?
First Man looks
First
great.
Man looks good.
Okay. Right. I've heard First Man is great.
Cool.
I'm excited.
I don't remember any of the ones we watched.
I don't know either.
There was just like a hour period where we just kind of sat here and watched trailers.
We did, and it was actually a lot of fun. We bonded really well, and I think we all learned a little bit.
Yeah, and then I showed him the Grinch trailer, and then Neil wrote me out of his will. And I'm like, all right, well.
Joke's on you. You were never there to begin with.
Oh, well, I know I'm not going to get a lot anyway. So.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay.
I mean, it's not like I have a lot.
Oh, no!
He's already leaving his $17.
His blank CDs! I don't get Neil's blank CDs! No!
All three of them.
Let's go to Sylvester, your cat! What the fuck?
Yeah, he loves it, man.
Yeah, he loves tearing him apart. And,
Just, I mean, like, if you toss him, he'll try to catch him with his mouth, but he never does because he's a stupid bitch.
Sylvester, stupid bitch.
He really is.
Holy shit, it's another fucking day. It's the best day ever again.
Sylvester's stupid as fuck, and I love him.
He's mad at me, but it's fine. So anyways.
That could be said at any point in time ever, and it would be correct.
Yeah, he's stupid as fuck.
Yeah. Oh, I love him. Oh, man. So, yeah.
Any other trailers we watched, Neil? Or was that all of them?
No, that was about it.
That was about it?
Yeah. We watched Dumbo. We don't want to talk about Dumbo.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty indicative of Gumbo.
Oh, and then we watched the Aladdin teaser, which...
Oh, fuck! Let's talk about the Aladdin teaser!
They're remaking Aladdin.
Oh, I know they're doing it. I just didn't know there was a teaser.
They released a teaser for
you, Neil.
They released a teaser for it, yeah.
You dumb bitch! You don't... So, yeah, let's talk about the Aladdin teaser.
I've made this apartment a worse place.
It's literally, like, a minute long, so there's not a lot to talk about. But, everything that was nice and, like, visually, like clear about the original Aladdin movie is gone.
Yeah, basically I would describe it as it's like you remember the animated movie? It's like that, but worse.
But worse. We're like, oh, here's a shot of Agrabah, and it's like this dumb like wide shot, and it's way off in the distance.
It's like I remember that shot from Game of Thrones.
And it's like, look, I'm not saying that like you have to recreate the fucking screenshot of the original animated movie, but like there's a reason why something shouldn't be translated from anime to live action is that there's just this... And, like, Aladdin's a very stylized movie, more so than a lot of its contemporaries at the time, than, like, Beauty and the Beast.
Wasn't the Sultan's castle in Agrabah, like... wasn't it, like, freaking... Like, just a huge stadium in comparison to, like, literally all the other buildings.
Yeah, like it's huge and has, like, those, like, big mushroom-shaped towers.
Right.
And, like, This, you don't see that. They're just like,
How do you translate that to live action without it looking like the Mortal Instruments, Mortal Engines trailer, you know?
Right. Like, that's the thing, is that, like, you, like...
Without it looking like the District 9 ship just, like, hovering over the city, you know?
Right. But then, like, then you see a shot of, like, the Cave of Wonders, and it's, like, it's still a big fucking, like, tiger
but
head. Tiger
it's like,
thing.
But it's, like, this, like, panning, it's, like... This fast panning shot where you don't really get time to absorb the image.
Yeah, we're just kind of like swooping in under like a little like overhang thing, and there's figures. It's in the side of a mountain.
Is Will Smith going to do a song on the soundtrack?
I don't know, but I probably would have enjoyed it more if he showed up.
I would like it more if it was like what's that one guy on Twitter?
Which one?
Demi.
There's a lot of guys on Twitter, Neil.
With the one
I'm blanking on his name, but
I'm
he's the guy.
On his name is like Electro Lemon or something.
Yeah, he Twitter. Did. He's the guy that did the Will Smith rap at the end of
Moonlight.
No, Get Out.
Oh, Get Out. Yeah,
yeah. So if you know that viral video, it's that guy. He's like a really talented writer. I think he's written for like The Good Place.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, he's the one that did the Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Theme song on his little...
Ready Player One. Yeah, that dude is insanely talented. But yeah, I want him doing Will Smith for the Aladdin remake. Yeah, it's just like all the visual clarity in the animated film is gone. It just looks busy and kind of muddled.
That's really a shame to hear because like with Beauty and the Beast, like I would argue the animated movie is like near perfect.
Yeah,
like, there's not much I would really fix about that. Jungle Book, you can modernize some stuff. Aladdin, you can modernize and like fix some things. So it kind of hurts to hear that it's like it's just worse. Like,
yeah, well, the thing is, like, you have to be smart about it,
right?
And it's very clear. Like, I think of any of the ones that have happened, even, and that's saying a lot because it's very clear that a lot of these are very cynical. Like, you know, oh, like we'll just recreate this really popular movie from 20 years ago.
Yeah,
like the Beauty and the Beast one is literally like a shot-for-shot remake, but you made it worse. It is the Psycho remake. Well, yeah.
It's a shot-for-shot remake with some added backstory that wasn't needed. And then
they took out some stuff, too.
And then they, like, fixed some things that people would, like, kind of jokingly nitpick about the animated movie.
Yeah, as,
like,
as Lindsay Ellis put it a lot better, basically these films act as, like, reactions to criticisms that aren't actually criticisms. They're, like, dumb CinemaSins shit.
It's like if people, like, it's like if they did a Hulk movie that just explains why, like, the Hulk pants stretch.
Yeah.
You know, which is, like, nobody really wants
or
to
why
be a big naked Hulk. Like, that's just, the pants just stay on because they need to be there. Like,
or why it specifically turns green.
Right, yeah.
I don't want to see Hulk's dick. I just don't.
Yeah.
Don't look that up.
It's like a tripod.
Oh, God, okay.
Guys, we have to stop listing things on my DeviantArt page. But it's just,
Steven the Symbiote. Call to come back.
Symbiote Steven. Symbiotic Steven.
Symbiotic Steven.
Sorry about Venom.
It's definitely, like, that's what makes... And, like, it's literally, like, this minute-long thing with, like, three shots and even... Just with that, it already makes me super frustrated.
Well, it's also, like, if you don't know what that is, you're going to have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Yeah,
it's
like...
It's intertextuality.
Yeah. Kids, I think... what are the shots again? It's,
Cave of Wonders, Agrabah.
Cave of Wonders, Agrabah. There's, like, a shot of inside the Cave of Wonders where you see all the treasure. Okay. But again, it's really muddled and not clear. Mm-hmm. And then there's a shot of Aladdin taking the lamp. Yeah. But again, it's muddled and not clear because it's lit poorly... It's like kind of like monochromatic.
Yeah, the it's more desaturated than it really should be.
And you could tell that because it's kind of half-acidly.
So they're taking some pages out of Zack Snyder's cinematography.
Well, it's Guy Ritchie directing it, and that's kind of been like a staple of some of his.
Yeah.
But also, like, I thought he was capable of learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like he didn't.
It definitely feels more like King Arthur than Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Just watch Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes is also very, like, monochromatic. Like,
but that worked because of, like, the setting and whatnot.
Like, it's Victorian.
It's a very smoggy,
England Great Britain. Is fucking gross.
And like, Man from U.N.C.L.E., it's like there's a little bit of that, too, where it's a little desaturated. Mm-hmm.
But also, it takes place in, like, Berlin in the 1960s.
Yeah, it's the 60s, so it's like, you have that kind of... You know, it's kind of harkening back to movies and TV that were black and white then. So it makes sense. Here, it's just like, it just feels like a half-assed attempt at, like, replicating some of the visuals of the movie, but they don't go, like, they don't actually commit to it. Like, because the scene where Aladdin picks up the lamp in the animated version is, like, has great contrast of orange and yellow and it's good purple. Lighting.
Yeah.
And it's, like, that's what makes it pop and look great.
Deep saturations.
And there's deep saturations. And, like, they kind of try to do that in this, but they just, it's like...
Well, the problem is, like, the sheen of the gold is the same level of brightness as Aladdin.
Yeah.
And that's a problem because it doesn't give your eyes anywhere to focus on.
Right,
there's no focus point.
Which is the problem with all the shots.
Yeah, well, that's also been a problem with a lot of Disney's live-action input, or output as well. Like, I think that the Jungle Book movie is fucking gorgeous looking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But also, you know, it's Matthew Libatique, who is a world-class cinematographer. Fun fact, he shot both Venom and A Star Is Born, two films that came out on the same weekend. He had both the number one... He shot both the number one and the number two film.
One a surefire Oscar winner, the other A Star Is Born.
Yep. but like, you know, he's a great cinematographer who really knows his hand around, like, special effects stuff. He's, like, Darren Aronofsky's resident cinematographer. So, you know he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast is ugly looking. Yeah. It's flat and gross.
Well,
and I don't know what they're shooting on, and I don't know how they're grading their films... But they need to stop.
Yeah. Because it looks like a weird, like, BBC production.
It looks like a BBC production. It looks gross.
Especially when they're in the village.
Yeah, it just looks flat and it looks cheap. Everything looks like a set. Costumes don't look like clothes attached to characters. They look like costumes.
Yeah.
They don't feel lived in. They just feel like... everything feels like a production. Like, sets just look like sets.
Yeah.
And that's not good. And, yeah, I think that I think that Beauty and the Beast is not a good-looking movie.
No.
Like, I don't know how... Well, like I said, I don't know how they're grading their films, but they need to cut it the fuck
out. And then, like, the characters themselves, especially the inanimate object characters, like, they're just way too complex.
Yeah.
Lumiere, it's like, he has a little dumb face, and it's like, why do you give him this tiny little face that when you have, like, a wide shot of him and, like, Cogsworth... You can't tell where they're talking from.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
I mean, obviously the animated is animated and it's cartoony and their faces are going to pop more. But, like, you know, if you're going to have, like, a shot from, like, far away and you can't tell what their facial expressions are, like, certain emotions aren't going to connote as well. You know?
I would say, I mean, like, the only one that's, like, not awful is, like, Mrs. Potts, but then you have, like, Chip. And Chip looks fucking gross and weird.
Yeah.
Because I think they still do, like, his, like, handles his nose or something, like in the original one.
Yeah.
It's taking, like, the ideas of the animated version and translating it into live action, but kind of mismanaging and misinterpreting, like, what made it work visually. And, like, that's the thing that's nice about the Jungle Book remake, is that it's totally, like, justifying a lot of its decisions. Like,
it's
a human character surrounded by animals.
Yeah.
So it's, like, the whole idea of them all being CG and such with, like, a little kid, that makes sense. It's also made by a good director.
It helps that, you know, the film kind of takes a different perspective. It approaches the original story from a different perspective.
Yeah.
It justifies its own existence by saying, hey, but what if?
Yeah. Right.
Whereas the Beauty and the Beast remake is just, well, what if it's not Stockholm Syndrome? Okay, well, I mean,
it wasn't really.
It wasn't to begin with. It was just shitty crack articles that kept.
There was something there that wasn't there before. Fuckers.
That sounds like me and my social interaction. I'm just interpreting things that aren't there.
It's a cliche story, okay? But, you know, it's a tale as old as time.
But it's like. They keep trying to update it, and they keep trying to fix things that aren't problems. And as a result, you know, the animated film, I've probably talked about it on here before, but you know what? I'm going to talk about it again, because why the fuck not? The animated
Okay.
Okay. So we're clear.
Yes.
All right, cool. Yeah. I love the Jews. All right.
I'm globalist.
I just want them to know. I love them.
My lawyer is a Jew.
Why won't they return my call? I've been crying every night.
Goldstein, please.
but the original animated film tells its story well, simply, concisely. There's really no rough edges. There's maybe, like, a couple of things that you could go, like, I don't know, maybe. But the rest, of, like, overall, it's a consistent, good Like, mm-hmm. it's a well-oiled machine. And the problem is that, yeah, the remake just decides, oh, these are problems, when, no, they're not problems. Oh, really? They aren't things that needed to be fixed. If you took seriously the problems that people have with it, it's like J.K. Rowling constantly trying to retcon her own work by saying, I sure wish I had made Harry and Hermione get together in the end. And then she goes and actually tries to do it, mm-hmm. except it doesn't work because that's not how it works, yeah. because it doesn't make mm-hmm. sense. So it's like, oh, well, Belle needs to be more feminist. Okay, well, fine, but she was. But she already was. Like, you don't yeah. need to make a finer point yeah. of it. Like, the cartoon did it just fine. Okay, well, you know, we're going to make her the inventor in the family. Okay, then what is Maurice? I don't know, he's a painter, I guess. Then why have Maurice?
Which admittedly, I do like what they change about Maurice.
Yeah.
As a character, because it's like, in the original, he's just kind of a bumbling, weird.
But it also makes sense that, you know, when he talks about getting captured by the beast and whatnot, mm-hmm. it makes sense that people would not believe him. Right. But if you turn him into a reasonable guy and then people are like, oh, I guess, sure, fine, yeah. then you have to create, like, this other convoluted reason for why people don't believe him. So and you're just adding more shit.
Everything that is perceived as, like, a flaw in the animated Beauty and the Beast is really something that, like, you don't really add to the movie by explaining it. You know? Like, people make jokes about, like, where were his parents when he was cursed.
Yeah.
You know, like, why aren't, like...
But they changed that, I think.
Oh, yeah. They explained why his parents are there. They explain... Like, people like to make jokes that, like, oh, like, he's 21 now and he's been cursed for 10 years. It's like, wait, so this woman, like, freaking cursed an 11-year-old that said she was ugly? That's... I mean, granted, dick move on the 11-year-old, but...
but he's also an 11-year-old.
He's also 11.
Have you ever had a good conversation with an 11-year-old?
I haven't, yeah.
11-year-olds suck.
So, Neil, you're saying that Kevin Kline's Maurice is completely useless now.
Don't. God damn it.
It's a reference to Phaelus's Sleeping Beauty, or yeah. Beauty and the Beast reference.
But yeah, like, his character's useless, and yeah. so as a result, yeah. you have to, like, find other contrived ways yeah. to get to the same point. It's like you have a GPS, and your GPS says, you're in point A, here's point B. It's really simple, just go on 75 north, and you're like... Well, what if I took 285 to get there, and then I get on to 575, and then I got to 75 north, and then I stopped for gas?
This concludes Georgia talk.
But it's Atlanta's traffic talk.
But it's the same thing. It's just like...
Now to Casey in the copter.
Copter 5.
I wish.
Action news.
I wish. That'd be amazing. Mr. Casey. But like, that's what that's like to me. It's like, you had a simple... sure shot trajectory
yeah.
and you fucked it up
yeah
and you continuously fucked it up
yeah
and then people are like, it's the big movie ever, shut the fuck up.
So how's that Dumbo trailer? How we got here, right?
Did you ever see the Cinderella remake?
I saw like a little bit of
that
it
was the one with the with Peggy Lily Carter
with
little, right?
with Lily James
Haley Atwell Haley Atwell.
Who does she play?
No, Haley Atwell's not in it. Lily James.
Lily James from
Baby Driver.
Was Haley Atwell in one of these Disney ones?
I don't know.
Maybe. I feel like she was in Cinderella the same year as like one of the Captain America movies or something
she
like
might
that.
Have been something else.
Maybe she was another role in it or something.
But yeah, I saw a little bit of a Cinderella movie, and it was like, it's fine. It's just another one of those, like, I don't know why this needed to be made. I mean, like, it's Kenneth Branagh, and, like, you know, like, the art direction and costumes and whatnot are lovely. They're gorgeous.
Which is way more than you can say about the Beauty and the Beast remake.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's, like, kind of almost justifies itself in, like, the art direction and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's
granted, still... it's Cinderella, and it's been adapted so many times.
It doesn't really do anything new. I mean, I think that I don't care for them trying to say, like, oh, the origin of Cinderella's name. Her name is Ella, and she was covered by cinders because she's in a fire. It's like, this is so
well, that's
dumb.
Actually part of the original thing.
That's like...
But it's like...
That's as bad as Han Solo's name origin. And
I would worse. I would say it's... No, I would say that was, like... I was like, all right.
So your name is Han, and you're not with anybody. Solo.
Okay, Han but how
Solo.
Does that? Okay, but how does that compare to Fan4Sticks? It's clobbering time.
Being the domestic abuse.
Domestic abuse.
Who?
Oh, wow.
I'll come back to that.
But hey, like, Tim Heidecker was in that movie.
It's true. So
put some respect on that name.
Sure. But
as whaleboat captain Dan Goobler.
Same character. I'm calling it. Same character.
But like, yeah, I mean, like, the Cinderella one is just, like, it's pretty to look at. The content's not really there, but, I mean, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Cate Blanchett's in it, and at least there's that.
It's got Hercule, the world's most magnificent detective. Rick me up,
but it's also, but it's also got Richard Madden in a fantasy wedding that doesn't end with horrible death.
Oh, cool.
So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, Rob Stark.
Oh, that's right. He's in that.
Yeah, he's in there. He plays the prince. And nobody dies.
Wow.
It's great.
Wow.
But,
whoa.
Like, Cinderella is just fine. It's just like, it's a movie that exists. Beauty and the Beast was the first one that I was like, this is offensive.
Yeah. Now, and now you got Mulan coming up that's like, it's not a musical.
There's no comedy.
There's no comedy. The love interest from the original, who everyone loves, is gone, supposedly. Yeah. We don't know who's directing it. We originally thought Guy Ritchie was directing it. We were like, well, that's stupid. But now he's doing Aladdin, which, I mean, it's...
Who did The Great Wall? That's probably going to be the person that directed it.
I would love that, though.
That's an actual, like, Chinese director, though.
Yeah, he's actually...
Well, I was making a joke about Matt... Like, since it was be Matt Damon.
Well, here's...
Matt Damon as Mulan.
Well, here's the thing about Great Wall. Great Wall was a Chinese production.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted Matt Damon to come in and do that.
Because it would, like, sell more in China.
Yeah, because he's a big star over in China. They wanted money. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you ever watch any of the movie, you know, Matt Damon's character is useless. All he does is just, like, marvel at the Chinese. That's all he does.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like everyone was a little quick to jump on that one.
Well, I mean, the fucking...
The optics, like, weren't good.
The optics weren't good, and the advertising really pushed him in it.
Well, it's because it's the West.
Well, yeah, because America sucks at that.
It does. But but here's the thing. Like, I would love if Mulan was directed by, like, a Chinese director.
It should be.
Of course, yeah.
It should be.
Because, like, I want to see it told through that lens of, like, you know, like, actual Hong Kong cinema.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be different.
It's representation.
Well, diversity and representation, yeah, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be different. It would be, it would have, like, a unique perspective. It'd be like, oh, I don't see this very often. You know, like, John Woo does, like, historical epics over in China now, because fuck, he can.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'd love
like
to
Face
see
Off too.
Did you know there were so many doves in China?
But, like, that's what I want. You know, like, I want, like, I want a Chinese director. Hell, get the guy who did Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. That'd be fucking great.
Ang Lee. Yeah, that was Ang Lee, wasn't it?
No, I was thinking of something else. Sorry. I was
thinking about,
like,
Hero?
Yeah, I was thinking of Hero.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
I need a hero!
Now I look like even more of a racist. God,
yeah, you fucker.
I can't win.
Saying all Chinese films are the same.
I love... I
get
love
one of them kung
my
fu...
My lawyer's Ang Lee.
Get one of them kung fu directors, the Paul W.S. Anderson. Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
I love all races, but, yeah.
I don't see color.
Wow.
Literally, I can't see anything. I'm calling one.
Dumbo. Looks...
I'm, to this day, I'm still convinced that the only reason Tim Burton got the job is because they really just want to fuck kids up with a new version of Pink Elephants on Parade.
I mean, like, which, even then...
That might be cool. I mean, the only thing that has me at all excited about it is, like...
Michael Keaton.
Well, Michael Keaton and Danny DeVito and Ava Green kind of, like, all kind of together in a movie.
That'd be cool.
So it's...
Them get wasted.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I already wasn't crazy about the Lana Del Rey cover of Baby Mine that plays throughout the entire trailer.
Yeah, and, like, I'm not crazy about, like, let's just throw kids in now, so, like, there's kids in the story now. It's like, they can't just have it be, like, a talking elephant or baby Dumbo and, like, he has, like, the mouse sidekick. Can't just do that, I guess.
Wasn't it in, like, in the original Dumbo, like, Pink Elephants on Parade happened because Dumbo, like, got drunk?
Yeah, he got drunk.
Like, it wasn't even, like, drugs. It was just he got drunk.
Yeah, that's all it
That's was. How alcohol works.
Yeah.
What's the song from Bob's Burgers? Butts.
Because it was all about the animal anuses.
Yeah.
Great song.
I have that as a ringtone.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So, anyway, on that dour note, we should probably wrap this fucking shit up.
Yeah, I know, right?
Thanks, Neil.
Didn't you guys miss us bitching?
Sorry about Neil's racism.
Aww.
Sorry about Venom.
That's the new sorry about Venom. Sorry about Neil's racism.
Oh, man. This is going to kill any chances I have with anyone.
Put it on your resume.
I'm already called one date butler. This is just going to make it worse.
Anyway, this will be out in time for Halloween, so I guess I'll pimp the...
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween! I do have a planned one with Neil for... That's actually going to be, like, festive. Try and get that out sometime next week. Don't wave. It's a fucking audio podcast, you fucker.
You can't see me, but I'm waving.
Stop being racist.
No!
We do have our sole Halloween commentary, which is fucking Cronenberg's The Fly.
All right.
I apologize in advance for my bad mic audio in that one, but it's still fun. So, yeah, I'm on that with Casey and our friend Thomas Mariani, who's great. So, other than that, we have Sweet Weenie. We're still kind of trying to make stuff for that channel. But in the meantime, go watch Deets About the Beats for the 11th time, like me.
The horroring is kind of...
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, and well
Ouija
as
Ouija Party.
Ouija Party. Yeah. I was actually going to post that on Twitter.
Also, a lady in the streets kind of has a Halloween-y hand.
I'm noticing a trend in our stuff here.
Also, Sweet Feed.
Wait a minute.
No. Oh.
No, that just gets to the horrors of your childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And superheroes.
Yeah.
There you go. All
right.
Yeah. Honey Mustard with Steven. Steven kind of has a costume in that one.
You want to see scary? Check out Steven's acting.
Steven's love of Steven's love of honey mustard is kind of off-putting, so I'll just recommend that.
Yeah, like his saucy fingers.
That's true. That does have a pretty horrifying ending.
If you thought salad fingers was off-putting, watch Steven's saucy fingers.
I forgot how freaking like saucy trauma-inducing the ending of that video is.
I didn't.
Saucy fingers sounds like a porn from the 70s that should have stayed forgotten.
Because it is.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Saucy Fingers, I don't know if it's more of a horror movie.
Anyway, watch Honey Mustard with Steve.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess until next time, we'll remain at large. Say goodnight, Neil.
Good night.
Okay, sorry about Venom.
All right.